The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
For such a time, bringing the fountains of God's work to all the servants and saints. Hosted by Messianic Rabbi Alan Moorhead, author, teacher, founder, and senior congregational leader of Arrowhead Messianic Congregation in Peoria. And now, Rabbi Moorhead.
Shalom, shalom, shamashim, kodashim, shel elyon. Peace and prosperity and good health to the saints and servants of the Most High God. I'm glad to be with you again, especially during this during the spring here, as we're getting into the spring moedims or appointments of God, starting with Passover. We've been talking about that. We started that last week. We started talking about it. I am so glad to be with you, and you're certainly welcome to join us. Every week, Lord, as we're talking about the spring moedim, going from Passover all the way to Shavuot, or some people call it Pentecost. We'll be talking about all these things. So we've got a lot to talk about in the next couple months. So join with us, and I hope I taught you something you didn't already know, or maybe refresh something you did know, and we'll go from there. So we're going to continue with this, talking about this. Yeah, you know, right now I'm going through the different things that Yeshua did on his 4 days of observance before he was crucified. Why is that important? Because it tells us in Exodus that you are to take the Passover lamb on the 10th in the sun, then you are to kill it on the 14th in the sun. And so that 4 days, Yeshua talked about a lot of things in that 4 day period, and I've been going over those things. And one of the reasons he was talking about all these things was he was showing that he was the Messiah. And, you know, and everybody else, because one of the things they're supposed to do is observe the lamb in their homes for 4 days. What was his home? He was in Jerusalem. That was his home. And so the people are watching and listening and following to see if they can find some kind of blemish. That would mean some kind of something very sinful that Yeshua may have done that would disqualify him from being the Messiah. So they're questioning him and trying to trip him up and ask him all kinds of things. So last week we just finished about the shriveled up fig tree when Yeshua and the disciples came off the Temple Mount. And I talked about how the fig tree does not represent Israel. The fig tree represents the temple or perhaps even the priesthood and the Word of God. So today we're going to continue with that. The next thing that Yeshua did was on Mark 11, verses 24 through 25, he gave a quick teaching on prayer that he said that whatever so you desire when you pray, believe that you shall receive them and you shall receive them. He's talking about faith. So he's giving a big message on faith, on prayer, that that we need to move in faith when we pray, and God will take care of it and he will do that. The next thing Yeshua talked about was forgiveness in Mark 11, 26. It says that you need to forgive. The reason that's important is because it says in there that if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. So we need to understand that if we don't forgive people, then we won't be forgiven. I don't care what they've done to you. You need to learn to forgive. If they've asked you for forgiveness and they apologize, then you need to forgive. And that's God's word. And if you don't forgive, then maybe God won't forgive us. That's a very big thing. We have to understand that. The next thing Yeshua talked about was the baptism of John, Mark 11, verses 29 through 30. When they were asking about John, and he says, he asked him, returning back, says, was he of heaven or of man? And of course, he replied back, we cannot tell. then neither will I tell you that either. So it's the baptism of John. You know, they're trying to trip him up about John. Everybody was afraid of John. And so Jesus tripped him up, says, was he of heaven or was he of man? In other words, was he God sent or was he just a crazy guy that living on the earth at that time? The other interesting thing about John, we'll briefly talk about this, is Matthew 11:11. In Matthew 11:11, it says, he that is the least in the kingdom of heaven will be greater than John. So that's an interesting thought. What is Yeshua saying here? He that is the least in the kingdom of heaven will be greater than John. This is saying that John the Baptist will not even be in the kingdom. That's what it's saying. Why would Yeshua say something like that? Especially after he said there's no greater person born of a woman than John. Yeah, John had great honor. But why would Yeshua say that he that is the least in the kingdom will be greater than John the Baptist? Because you got to understand, to be in the kingdom requires faith. John the Baptist did not come because of faith. John the Baptist was appointed to be who he was. And he was filled with the Holy Spirit and was sent to do what he had to do from the beginning of his birth. And so that's not the same thing. So you can realize today that if you believe by faith how much greater that is in the kingdom than a calling like John the Baptist had. Yeshua also taught on those 4 days. He said, I taught on the parable of the vineyard and the tower and the stone and the builders rejected. He talked about that in Mark 12:1-11. He taught on giving to Caesar on Mark 12:14-17. Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, unto God which is God's. And what is God's is always the tithe. The 10% of everything you got. That's God's money. That's not your money. That's not anybody else's money. That's God's money. He also answered questions about the resurrection, Mark 12:28-34. And he taught on the greatest commandment and the second one, Mark 12:28-34. The greatest commandment and the second one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your might. And the second one is you shall love the neighbor as yourself. He taught on that. Which I find very interesting. The very first two vessels built in the tabernacle of Moses, which is a shadow and the type of our walk. The first vessel built was the ark. The second one is the table of showbread, representing those two commandments. The first one, the ark, being you shall love the Lord your God. The second one being the table of showbread, which is the priests had fellowship at, was to love your neighbor as yourself. Very interesting concept how God ties all this together. He also taught about the Son of David and the Trinity concept, Mark 12:35-37. So he taught about those. He also warned his disciples about the scribes, Mark 12:38-40. The scribes were learned men who apparently were supposed to be teaching people the right way to understand the Word of God, and they were not. And so that's why Yeshua warned everybody about the scribes. And because they loved, you know, they like to be seen, and they like to, you know, act like they're very important and took the chief seats in the synagogues and all that. Yeshua warned his disciples about them. The next thing Yeshua did was he told the story about the widow and the two mites in Mark 12:42-44. There, Yeshua said that she gave more than anybody. And the disciples, what? She hardly gave anything. But he said, yeah, but she gave all that she had. Yeshua knew that. Next thing Yeshua taught, he says that the temple will be destroyed and every stone will be turned over in Mark 13:1-2. You know, the disciples were showing Yeshua, isn't the temple magnificent? Isn't it something else? He says, it will be destroyed and every stone will be turned over. We know through history that when the Romans came in, they began to burn it, and all the gold that was inside the temple was melted and fell between the stones and the rocks. The Romans turned over every rock to peel all the gold off of it that they could. And so every stone was turned over. Yeshua also taught on the alabaster box of ointment that was used to anoint him with. When Judas himself says that we could have sold that, we could have made money with that. And Yeshua said, leave her alone. She is doing this for me in recognition of my death that is coming. You see that in Mark 14, 3 through 9. Then he had the Passover meal, and Judas betrayed him, Mark 14, 10 through 11. And then in the middle of that Passover meal, Yeshua told him, whatever it is you have to do, go do now. So Judas left and betrayed our Messiah. So notice the parallels. Within 24 hours, Yeshua had his Passover Seder. He was betrayed. He was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. The Pharisees held his mock trial. Yeshua was crucified. This all happened on Nisan 14th, on the day of Passover, evening to evening. And so that's the day starts in the evening. See, that's important to understand that in Hebraic roots concept. The day starts after the sun goes down. That starts the new day. So you consider that 24-hour period where the sun went down that evening, on the 13th that evening when the sun went down, it now becomes the 14th, or Passover. And in that 24-hour period, all these things happened to Yeshua and his disciples. Now remember that Yeshua entered Jerusalem 4 days prior to his crucifixion, and the crowd cried, Hosanna, Baruch Abba B'Shem Adonai, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Now there's a good chance that this was on the Sabbath day and not on a Sunday. So instead of having a Palm Sunday, this could have been a Palm Shabbat. And you say, well, why do I say that? Well, there's several reasons why I say that. And I'm going to tell you what I'm right now. It says, Yeshua went from Bethany to Bethphage, or went to Bethany and Bethphage from Jericho the day before, Matthew 21, verse 1, and Mark 10, 46. The reason he went on Friday was so that he was within a Sabbath day journey of Jerusalem. No one was allowed to walk more than 2,000 cubits, a little more than half a mile, on the Sabbath. Markers were placed along the roadside, and Bethphage was the edge of that journey. So there were large crowds in Jerusalem. You got to remember, Sunday is a work day. So if Yeshua came on a Sabbath 4 days prior to the crucifixion to be observed as the Passover lamb, he would have been crucified on Wednesday afternoon. But you got to remember also that, you know, it very well still could be Sunday, depending on how you break the days and evenings up. And so I've tried to look at all different kinds of angles here. It still appears to me that he came in on the Shabbat, because why else would he get to Bethphage on the Sabbath day journey limits quickly from Jericho that before the Sabbath came? But also understand that Yeshua had to be observed for 4 days and be in the tomb for 3 days and three nights. The one day we do know about is that he rose on the first day of the week. Now, the first day of the week could have been late Saturday night. So you start trying to plot it out, you know, 3 days and three days and three nights backwards, you come up with Wednesday. But then he had to be observed in Jerusalem for 4 days prior to that. When you do that, it comes out on Shabbat again. I guess one way thing you could look at, if Passover itself was one of the days of observation, it could possibly fall on a Sunday. So either Shabbat or a Sunday. But with these other evidences that he headed for Bethphage the day before in order to avoid walking on the Sabbath, kind of leads you to believe he may have came into Jerusalem on the Sabbath morning. Who knows? You know, so instead of a Palm Sunday, it could have been a Palm Shabbat. But understand that no matter which way you look at that, Wednesday appears the time that he was crucified, not on a Friday. And we'll talk some more about that in a little bit. So if he's going to be 3 days and three nights in a tomb, as prophesied by Yeshua, Matthew 12, verse 40, you can't get 3 days and three nights from a Friday night crucifixion by the time of the resurrection. Wow. Have you ever thought about that? You got to understand there are many other Sabbath days in a year other than the weekly Sabbath day. And John called it was a high Sabbath. So biblical time starts the new day at sundown, based off of Genesis creation, and evening and morning were the second day, Genesis 1, verse 8. So Tuesday evening at sundown was the start of Passover. Yeshua celebrated his Seder, his dinner, with his disciples as Passover began. The next day, Wednesday, before sundown, when it was still the day of Passover, he was killed just like the lambs. Remember, Yeshua was taken down from the cross at the end of Passover near sundown. That would have been Nisan 14th. Because the next day, the sundown, would have been the 15th of Nisan. Leviticus 23, verse 6, says it is the beginning of the Moed, or appointment of unleavened bread. That was to start that evening. This is a seven-day Moed where only unleavened bread can be eaten. Exodus 12, verse 15. The first and seventh day of the Moed are Sabbaths. John 19, verse 31 calls the first day of unleavened bread a high Sabbath. It was not a weekly Sabbath. It's important to note there are seven other Sabbaths in the Bible that are not weekly Sabbaths during the Moedim. This high Sabbath was at hand. It was a Wednesday night, the beginning of Thursday. There was no Good Friday. If Yeshua died on Friday, you cannot get 3 days and three nights in the tomb. Let's continue with the biblical Passover account. Exodus 12, verse 7 says that Hebrews were to take the blood of the sacrificial lamb and put it on the side and upper doorposts of their house. They were to eat of the roasted lamb in their houses. They were required to eat all of it or burn the leftover by morning. This is very significant. Today, this house is our body. We are covered by the blood of the Lamb to forgive our iniquities and the defilement of death. Death is destroyed. We continually eat of the Lamb spiritually. This is why we do the New Covenant Passover or Communion regularly. Exodus 12:8 tells us that we are to eat the Lamb with unleavened bread and bitter herbs, the three things needed to celebrate Passover, Exodus 12, verse 8, and Numbers 9, 11, and 12. Unleavened bread represents sinlessness. Bitter herbs represents persecution and tribulation. Acts 14, verse 22 says that through much tribulation you enter the kingdom of God. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 5, verses 7 through 8, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." Paul says that we are unleavened. God sees us completely clean and free of sin because of Yeshua's offering. Yet Paul warns us to do away with sin in our lives. 7 days of unleavened bread represents our lives from when we first believe, that first Sabbath, in Yeshua until we die, the last Sabbath. The two Sabbaths of unleavened bread, the first day and the last day, is representative of our lives in Yeshua. Seven means completeness. Also, we eat bitter herbs to remember Christ's suffering, and that we suffer for our beliefs. In Matthew 5:10, it says, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." It also says in John 16, verse 33, "In the world you shall have tribulation." And in Acts 14, 22, we are told that we must through much tribulation enter the kingdom of God. This is not for salvation, but for the kingdom of God. We are to run the race. If we are persecuted, we are to persevere and continue to run the good race. There were still further instructions regarding the Passover. Exodus 12:10 says, "Leave nothing of the lamb until morning." We are to completely eat the Lamb of God. We are to completely embrace him. Can't pick and choose what parts we like and throw the rest away. So all of the lamb has to be eaten. You can't say, well, I just want the leg, or I just want the breast, or I want the thigh, whatever. You have to eat all the lamb. What this means is the Lamb of God, Yeshua, you have to embrace and take everything he said, embrace everything he did. You can't pick and choose what part you like. You know, you can't try and rip out pages of the Bible and go, I don't like what they say. I don't like what they say. Oh, I like what this says. I'll keep this one. You can't do that. You have to take it all. That's when you get in trouble, when you start picking and choosing what part of God's word you want. All of his word is truth. All of his word is powerful. All of his word gives life. You can't pick and choose what part you want and don't want. Then we also learn in Exodus 12, verse 11, eat with our loins girded, staff in hand, shoes on our feet, and eat it in haste. So in other words, at all times, we have to be on guard. At all times, we have to move with the Lord. At all times, we partake of the Lamb of God, but we don't go asleep. We don't fall asleep in our walk with the Lord. We have to be actively, continuously active in the things that we do for God. Exodus 12, verses 12 through 13 says, the Lord will pass through the land. If he sees the blood, he will pass over you and judge you not. This passage shows why it's vitally important that we don't delay in making Yeshua Lord of our lives. We need to be ready at any time for him to appear and be ready to move when he says so. Exodus 12, verse 14, it shall be a memorial for what the Lord has done. You shall keep it to the Lord an ordinance forever. So in other words, we are to celebrate Passover every year. But when you do New Covenant Passover, when you do communion, that's what you're doing. You're celebrating Passover. It's required. You are to keep it. And as a matter of fact, you know, Paul says, you know, do this often. Or Yeshua said, do this often in remembrance of me. Exodus 12, 29 through 33 says, finally, Pharaoh let the people go. Wow. Finally, Pharaoh let the people go after the death of the firstborn. That's important stuff to remember. Now, this brings to us to wonder who can eat of the Passover. No stranger can, according to Exodus 12, verse 43. However, if a stranger keeps Passover and is circumcised, he is one who was born in the land, as Exodus 12, verse 48 indicates. This means that any stranger who accepts Yeshua and repents will be as one born in the land of Israel. That's why people turn around and say, well, we're a spiritual Israel if you're a Gentile. Yes, you are. You're a spiritual Israel. So any stranger or Gentile that keeps Passover and is circumcised, then he can be considered as one born in the land. This is important to understand, that if you're a Gentile and you take what Yeshua did for you on the cross, then you have Passover. And if you repent and have a circumcised heart, it's not talking about circumcision of the flesh, but a circumcised heart, then you become as one who was born in the land. How magnificent is that? What a great thing God did for us right there to tell us that, you know, if you have the Lamb of God and you have a circumcised heart, you're as one that's born in the land. Wow, that's awesome. That's why we'll be going back to that land in the resurrection. You know, that's our land too. That's why if you've ever been to Israel, you feel like you're at home when you get there. Even in its current state that it's in today, you feel like it's home. You know that. And every time I've been there 14 times and led many tours there, and the people all say the same thing. Feels like I'm home. Well, there's a reason for that. You are as one born in the land. If you have the Passover lamb and your heart's been circumcised, in other words, you've repented and you've turned to the Lord. So these things are important to understand. Everything about Passover is important to understand. It still applies today. So we are done again and we'll pick this up, continue with the spring Moedim next week. So join with me next week and we'll talk some more about it and fill your mind with the things of God. God bless everybody.
for such a time with Messianic Rabbi Alan Moorhead. You can join them Friday nights at 7 p.m. or Saturday mornings at 10:17. Arrowhead Messianic Congregation is located at 10738 North 75th Avenue in Peoria. Find us online at myamc.org. That's myamc.org. Until next week, thank you for listening to For Such a Time.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.